So there were a coincidence of interests that meant that there was going to be a great Third Crusade. And immediately, Henry II pledged to go on the Third Crusade, but he died in early 1189, and his son, Richard, his oldest son, Richard Lionhearted, who was not the favorite son of Henry. Actually, he's Henry's second son. There was an earlier Henry, but he predeceased Henry after revolt back in 1173. Richard was ready to go on crusade. He was the apple of the eye of his mom, Eleanor of Aquitaine. He was the successor to a whole crusader tradition in the family. He was seen as the perfect knight, a brilliant general, a charismatic figure, and a great king. He ruled 60% of the French kingdom as his vassals. He was a vassal of King Philip II. He was a bold and powerful warrior, a magnetic figure in battle, a handsome man, ruled England, which was the source of his revenues, clearly was a great king. At the same time, Philip II, his overlord, the King of France, who ruled essentially just Paris and its environs, he had to go on crusade, in part to remove the stigma of his father, Louis VII, who had done so poorly, and in part he couldn't afford not to go on crusade if Richard was on crusade. And so the two kings agreed to put aside their differences, raise the money, tax their clergy, tax their populations, and equip great armies. These armies may have been somewhere on the order of 15,000 men apiece, as far as we can tell. They were very impressive, well-equipped armies that left from Vieuxsalais and made it to the ports of southern France and were going to take passage by ship through Genoese and Spanish and Italian ships to get to Palestine and relieve the hard-pressed cities. The other important monarch in Western Europe who was eager to go on crusade was Frederick Barbarossa, who may have been close to 70 years old at this point. Frederick, the Holy Roman Emperor, who had battled in Italy for nearly a generation to assert his authority over the Lombard communes, was regarded as one of the greatest warriors of all time. And with him went the armies of Italy and Germany, including many seasoned veterans. And this army was dangerous to Saladin. This was probably the best force that was on the road. This army took the traditional land route. It marched through Hungary and marched through the Byzantine Empire. And Frederick's army departed first. Frederick was able to mobilize his forces earlier. He took all of his nobles with him. And furthermore, Frederick hoped to magnify the glory of the Hohenstaufen family, to bring to heel his wealth opponents, and also, again, to remove a family stigma. His uncle and predecessor, Conrad III, had suffered that embarrassing defeat at Dorylaeum back in 1147. Frederick was a young man at the time when they went on crusade, and now Frederick, in his advanced years, was going to go as one of the great kings, one of the three kings of the West, and remove that stigma. So all three of these kings together may have pitted forces as much as 45,000 men, three times the army of King Guy, and probably together twice the size of the army of Saladin, or at least Saladin's field army. The problem was delivering all that force to the Holy Land. These forces had to depart separately. There were the arduous journeys. There's the problem of financing, equipping the fleets. And as a result, the Third Crusade wasn't a single crusade that arrived, but it came piecemeal. And in addition to the three great royal armies, many vassals set out on their own. There were small contingents that showed up. Well, what they arrived to in Palestine was a real political mess. And let's look at exactly what was going on when these great crusades departed. Saladin, to his credit, proved a magnanimous conqueror. He was generous in ransoming the prisoners of noble birth. He gave generous terms to Jerusalem, and he very cleverly, early in 1188, released King Guy, really because no one was interested in paying a ransom for him. And it was far more comforting to Saladin to have Guy on the crusader side rather than in a Muslim prison, because Guy was one of the best weapons Saladin had. Guy came back to Tyre, immediately claimed that he was king of Jerusalem, and no one really paid attention to him. He had been discredited at the Battle of Hattin. Furthermore, it was felt by the majority of the native nobility who were at Tyre that Conrad was obviously the man who should be king. He had rescued Tyre at the absolute important point. They invoked the old will of Baldwin IV and said, well, Guy wasn't supposed to be king anyway. And by the way, those three great Western kings, they really should decide. And they were confident that Frederick and Philip Augustus would choose Conrad for various reasons. And therefore, they arranged for Isabel, surviving half-sister of Baldwin IV, the daughter of Maria Comnena and King Amalric I, they arranged for her to divorce her first husband, Humphrey, and to marry Conrad.